Blog Talk Radio.
It's Suzanne on the beginning of August here, and 2012, as they say, and welcome all you guys. And I'm always so interested, like that. You know, we obviously we have like tons of wonderful listeners, but I'm always actually have to say happily impressed that a lot of folks come back and they do a lot of the downloads of the iPods. Which, in case for some of you out there, which you guys seem to be really on the ball, you all seem to be able to do it quite well. But for those of you that don't know, of course, all of my podcasts are downloadable, and that you can listen to pretty much off the air. Just real quick here, the number always ahead of time is 347-945-7785. That's 347-945-7785. Yes, I will be doing messages. We always do it toward the latter part of the program, and if people call in and they want to get online, that's always my suggestion. If you don't mind holding on, that's when you sort of get a better shot, because I usually try to like run through as many people as I can, but try to keep it as quality as I possibly can. Just sort of on a sidebar here, just for some of these people that you know that had asked my assistant about some of my upcoming events. Yes, I do have a huge afternoon event in September the 15th with John Holland. It's my second one this year with him. We usually like spend a year in between, but this year we've actually sort of like done both. So I'm actually pretty excited about it, and he is. And my first time that I've been doing New Hampshire in a few years. So that's a really, really cool thing. So that's a nice thing to kind of report. And I know I talked a little bit about this in my newsletter, how I must thank everybody again in the Oregon area, the central and in the coast. I just really had a wonderful time, and it was a blast, and it was really, really cool. And I will be making it out west again this year. I'm going to be in Tucson. I'm doing some work with Dr. Gary Schwartz. We're going to be doing an event that he's going to be showed up as a very special guest in relationship to introducing to me. You can find out that information probably within the next month or so. That's going to be at the end of October. It will be at the University of Tucson and in Arizona, and I'm going to be out in the Denver area as well and a few other places. And, yes, I'm definitely going to hit the West Coast. I know my sister's been getting lots of emails about that. I always try to make out there at least once, if not twice a year, but I will most definitely be doing it out there, because I'm going to be doing some TV, radio type things coming up. So it's just a matter of like coordinating all those schedules. So, yes, I will be making it back out there again. I always, as you well know, you know, when I have guests on my shows, which of course I frequently do, for me, guests are really about sharing information, and obviously in different topics in the arena of metaphysical, spiritual stuff. And I really try to do a cross section, and you know, and every once in a while I'll get an email, actually from a past guest of mine, who gave me a heads up on somebody who had done similar work. It's actually Jules St. John, similar work to what she was doing, but I think kind of on a different scale. And then so I got some contact, and what I liked about it is it was a PBS special about this, so I thought that was really nice, because generally when things are done on PBS, they have a nice sense of credibleness to them. And anyway, this is a topic that I have found that many of my listeners are actually quite drawn to, and just in terms of their own experiences, but just in terms of knowing that there is some data, if for lack of better words, that has been published in books as well as in documentaries on this particular subject matter. And that subject matter is the reincarnation? Does it really exist? Has you had an experience in your life that would validate that from you? Or with my guest coming up, not only having the experience, I think, personally, but what he did is he took it to one step farther and did this production of this reincarnational documentary called In Another Life, Reincarnation in America. And basically it was done from the Meher Spiritual Center and the Sherhoff Foundation for Restoration of Video Editing. He did the videography of it, the writing, the editing, the narration for the video, and introduces new visitors to the center through this process. So it's about Matthew Franklin, Red Order in His Own Words, who is a scholar. It's basically his scholarly attempt to prove his own reincarnational case by the fact of a younger brother, romantic poet, John Griefler Witter, and the loving Abby, Truth and Spirit. The story is about the reconnection of Abby Proven Witter, Matthew's first wife, and how they reestablished the relationship across the divide of 170 years later. So it's very, very cool. My guest is Stephen Stacularius, and he's got a master's in counseling. He's studied with reincarnation for 38 years, and he maintains on his website Another Life, and it's a lot of extensive autopsy of reincarnation of the world since its inception in 1998. Welcome to the show, Stephen. Are you still there?
Just in the nick of time.
Hi, Stephen. How are you doing?
Good. Okay.
Good. Wonderful. Okay. So, you know, I'm sure that you're in your travels, you run across people that definitely have interest in this arena, and I don't know. Obviously, this was a story that kind of grabbed you and made you, you know, not only write about it and get it published, but to follow through and actually try to, you know. Now, I honestly haven't seen all of the documentary itself. I don't know if he did reenactments with it and how he went and did it, but I love the story. Love stories are always wonderful because they tend to crop up a lot in these reincarnational stories. And I know you know Jill St. John and Jewel St. John. She's had done some of that herself in a little bit different manner, but this was quite a wonderful love story here. So, first of all, before we kind of get into it, if you've done this for like 38 years, what actually kind of drew you to the subject matter?
Well, of course, when the 38 years includes my study of Eastern religions. So I started that just right out of high school, you know. I mean, I just took to it like a fish to water, and the reincarnation part just made perfect sense to me. So I went, I never really questioned it, yeah. So I read the Bhagavad Gita, and it's very prominent there, and it just said, oh, okay, you know. So, but then I went on, and when I started my little video company, which I don't have now, but in 1997, I started a little video company, and I decided, well, I'm going to do a personal project. And the personal project was this little documentary on reincarnation that I really felt led to. I just woke up one morning and realized, oh, that's what I'm going to do. You know, I don't know what happened that night, but when I woke up, it was decided. So that's when I began to...
That often does happen.
Yeah, it was very, very. I mean, I just knew that was it. It must have been a discussion that went on. I don't remember. So anyway, as I started looking into it, I realized that there was a lot of research that had been done. A lot of people had studied that in Western countries. I thought it was just an Eastern idea, you know, but it really wasn't. I mean, the Theosophical Society has been studying this for years, and many other people.
For a long time, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I realized that, I started running into people that I could interview for the documentary who really were quite knowledgeable, people like Carol Bowman and Roger Wolger. I learned about past life therapy, and I learned Dr. Ian Stevenson's work, and, you know, I realized there was a lot out there. And I realized that really this whole thing is going on under our collective noses, so to speak, and everybody's having experiences. A lot of people are having experiences. And they're reading and they're understanding it, and yet it's like the emperor's new clothes. Nobody's supposed to mention it. So that's what the documentary was about. Look what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And you are right. And for people that, you know, that don't know about this, yes, the Theosophical Society has been around for a very, very long time. It's a British society, and you had Madame Blavatsky, you had, you know, Arthur Conan Doyle, you had all of these people that were very, very much involved in the Theosophical Society. And with that, they did have many, many of their books published about, obviously, just about this subject matter. But we all know that this was obviously very huge in Britain. And you are right, it is slowly was established within the United States under, as you said, like under a lot of underground things, but in ways of, you know, letting us know that it was, in fact, there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to talk to individual people, too, I would, and not just restricted to reincarnation, but in terms of other afterlife experiences, just like, seemed like everybody I talked to had an experience. And I remember I was sitting in my office, And there was an old kind of a old codger that was like a World War II vet, and he would come into my office early in the morning and tell me all about his, you know, experiences on an aircraft carrier. And he went on like that for half an hour, and he kind of wore himself out, and he stopped. And then he started telling me about how when his mother died, he was sitting on the back porch at night looking out over the field, and his mother appeared to him right exactly at the moment that she died. And I thought, if this guy has a story, everybody's got a story, you know. It was amazing.
That's
just get somebody's confidence to where they trust you, and these stories are all over the place. So everybody's having these experiences, and nobody's talking about them.
Well, in my world, actually, they are talking about them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And but you are right. It most definitely has changed. I can tell you from doing what I've been doing for a very, very long time, way over 35 years. But it has most definitely changed. It is coming much more to the foreground now. I think without a question that, you know, there are many seekers, and I think when you do think about the afterlife. Not for everybody, but it is kind of a natural flow to start thinking like, well, if you really believe in there's an afterlife, and then does that mean you've been here before, or where's the stretch of that? You know, and I've done, you know, a lot of work with Brian Weiss, so which of course is his specialty, and so I think that it clearly is much more out there than what we know to be true. So this particular story. The story of inner life and another life, reincarnation in America. Basically, you talk about the two books that you wrote, Matthew Franklin Whittier in his own words, and that was his attempt and to prove basically his own case of reincarnation in relationship to his younger brother. And then you talk about the story of the loving Adam Abbey in The Truth and Spirit, which is the story of how he connected to his first wife. And this, from what I understand, spanned it over. Like 170 years, which, of course, most people we know live not that long. So,
right.
So in other words, there's got to be some kind of a link of how we sort of like tie them together. So how did you go about doing these books and the video and the document that all followed up?
Well, of course, the documentary was some time ago. That was 2003. So that it was released and broadcast in Denver, and PBS in Denver. And the book was, it gradually kind of evolved. What happened was that there's a fellow that's in the documentary named Jeff Keane, who has his own reincarnation case, pretty strong one. And in the course of the investigation, I took him to a couple psychics. And I went in, I turned on, this is 2000, before anybody else that I know of was doing this, except maybe a few spiritualist churches, you know, in England somewhere. You could tell me better probably, but in 2000, I don't think, like, or 1998, I'm sorry, it was actually as early as 1998, I don't think people were videotaping psychic readings too much. So anyway, I went in there, I didn't tell her anything. She got his name and birth date. I turned on the camera, and I let it roll. And he had been telling me about a past life as John B. Gordon, a general in the Civil War. And he'd also given me a manuscript that talked about another lifetime that was more recent as a British Special Forces officer behind enemy lines in France. So he described that. So this psychic on camera, the first, after she gives her invocation, you know, to the Holy Spirit and so on, and ask for no mischievous entities to come in, things like that. And the first thing out of her mouth is she says, I see you, you know, in a uniform, and you're on the ground with a gun and some men around you, you know, and she describes it a little bit. She says, and boy, do I feel like it's France. This is so she's not, I was annoyed because the spirits are not giving her the lifetime I want, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it was.
Well,
that's
often the case.
Is that typical? That's what I figured later. They don't give you the obvious thing. Yeah. They give you something more obscure. So they gave me this other lifetime that was in his unpublished manuscript that I had read that there's no way the psychic could have possibly seen. So from that, and she described it some more, and you know, and his life now is rather similar, so there was parallels, and it went on like that. But I said, this person's genuine. Okay, so I know this psychic is genuine. So much later, let's see, I was looking for a past life as a woman on the West Coast, because in an even earlier psychic reading, I'd been told that I was a woman writer on the West Coast, and a little bit about that, and I was looking for that. But what I ended up finding was this life as Matthew Franklin Whittier, which was much earlier in the 1800s and in New England. Long story how that came about, but so here I am with this older lifetime, and but I didn't find, I found it through Jeff, because I found a woman's name, a woman writer named Sarah Orne Jewett, who was not in the 20th century. She was in the 19th century, and she was in New England. And I looked her up, and I said, I know this is very familiar. I know this name. I know this, you know, but it's not me. I said, I'm not this woman. So who am I? So I wrote to Jeff, the same fellow, because he has this knack for synchronicity. Things just happen around him. Coincidences all happen around him. And I said, this guy will find it if anybody finds it. So after about 3 weeks of puzzling over this, I just sent this website for Sarah Orne Jewett. It's called the Sarah Orne Jewett Text Project website. And he poked around in there, and it's not easy to find. He found her social circle and pictures of all the people in her social circle. And down at the bottom is this person, Matthew Franklin Whittier, who was the younger brother of the poet John Greenleaf Whittier. He was known at the time as a writer, humorous writer, but he's been completely forgotten now. So I looked at this picture, and I knew that was me. I looked at the eyes and the faces, probably about 85% like mine, but I looked at the eyes and I said, this is me. So then it went on from there, and I continued to research it, and it snowballed. That was 2005, I think. So, I mean, it was quite a while that I really started to seriously research it about 2009.
Mm-hmm. So when you started your research, and obviously, you know, and it's interesting because, your story is very similar to other people's stories, that when you have a personal experience, which clearly you did, you made clearly a connection to, and the fact that, you know, that you are a writer and you are, you know, a video, would make sense that you certainly would be a writer in a past time or a poet in a past time, because, you know, we often have links within lifetimes connected from other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
They're not usually these off kind of like random type things. So that's clearly seems to have been, you know, where you got from like one point to another point.
Yeah, I have a lot of the same talents. Writing has always come naturally to me. Now, Matthew was self-educated, so he would make spelling errors occasionally, you know, or wrong assumptions or things like that, but he was a very, very good writer, a humorous writer. And I have the same talent. As a matter of fact, I've got stuff I wrote on my website before I learned about, you know, Matthew that sounds just like him, you know. So, yeah, I have the same attitude, basically, the same, except I try not to. There's a couple things I've learned, and one of them is to try to be careful not to hurt people's feelings. In other words, not to be sarcastic in the sense that hurts somebody. I'm not sure that I used to be that careful, so there are certain things that you've picked up along the way that you learn not to do, you know.
Yes,
but very
yes.
similar talents, yeah.
Yes. We're speaking with Stephen Zacharias, who is a producer of the Reincarnation documentary In Another Life, Reincarnation in America, which was done a while ago on PBS. But since then, he has basically, you know, done these two e-books, and I'm assuming people can get a hold of them and check them out and stuff. And one of them is Matthew Franklin Whittier in his own words. And so this kind of drew you to your kind of your own connection and where you are from where you are at your research today. We're going to take a real quick break. This is Suzanne Northup at Block Talk Radio with my special guest, Stephen Zacharias, on his special drawn and work in the extensive topic of reincarnation in the world. The number to call in is 347-945-7785. The lines are definitely full, but, you know, it will be a first come and first serve. Hang on there, and we'll get to you guys in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne Northrup at Block Talk Radio on the beginning of August, which I think for many people is very warm in different parts of the country. Being certainly some of the places that I've been, it's a bit warm. So let's hope that we can still enjoy our August and be cool all at the same time. One of the things that I encounter, Stephen, is that I'm constantly, I must tell you, I don't want to say constantly, but it's rare that I do an event or I do a seminar where I'm certainly not asked this question. And what I'm always so interested about is that sometimes people, they claim that they don't believe in it, but then they want to know, they're always very upset or freaked out that their dead relatives aren't going to be there when they go over because they've reincarnated. So we always have these discussions in almost all of my seminars. So it's interesting that, people do think about this. And I think probably, obviously you being drawn, like you said, you were drawn interesting enough in the Eastern studies, but you didn't realize that there equally was a lot of it in the Western world. And I think a lot of it is, to be honest with you, is a lot to do with the metaphysicians of the time that sort of like influenced America, at least from Great Britain. That were the Theosophists were very, very significant in terms of educational people in relationship to reincarnation. So when you followed these stories and you were able to make these very strong connections from that lifetime to this lifetime in terms of validating all of these particular experiences, did you kind of like, and again, I don't know how you did this in relationship to your book, but did you sort of like make a listing of like you said, clearly that there was this parallel of writing from that time to this time, the parallel from that time to that time. Did you happen to like by chance like make a list of all these particular parallels that you felt were carried from one time to another?
It was kind of more organic than that. I can't really explain it because I feel my identity kind of interweaving with this past life to such an extent, especially if I study it. That
right.
Yeah, it's for example, if I read his writing, when I started reading his writing, I instantly knew things about his writing that nobody had picked up on. Also, I knew things about his relationship with his brother that nobody had picked up on, which is kind of unsettling because his brother has been rather put on a pedestal, and of course, never ask a famous person's sibling about them, but...
yes, exactly, yes.
Yeah, because you might get a different story, of anybody. But when I looked at his writing, I knew that a lot of it was autobiographical. Nobody's talked about that. I knew that he was inserting, like, code, like referring to things and people in his life kind of obliquely, and I knew what the references were. I found a few of them, and I'm sure there's many more I haven't caught. But he used to, basically, I get the feeling that he was writing very intelligent humor. And at the time, people wrote kind of stupid humor, so his humor looks stupid, but it really isn't. He's really dealing with metaphysics and with morality and ethics and a lot of, highbrow stuff. I mean, he was a contemporary of Emerson and, Thoreau, and he was writing on that level, but in this lowbrow humor. And nobody caught it, but I caught it, because I know it. I knew where his mind was going. My mind works exactly the same way. I knew what he was thinking. I knew what he was especially proud of. I would read something and I'd hit a particularly good part and say, yeah, I was proud of that, So it's so organic that I almost can't tease it out. But I did want to respond to something you said about people being concerned about reincarnation because they might not get to see their loved one when they pass over. That's an important point. And what I feel is if the bond is there, you will see them. There is no way you cannot be with them again. It's impossible not to be with them. But it's a matter of fate and karma. Is it going to be on the other side or are you going to incarnate together? And what I would suggest is that people read a book by Carol Bowman. She's got two books. I won't mention the book. I know we talked about names, but there is one particular book called Return from Heaven I would recommend because it talks very clearly about people that reincarnate back into their extended families. and she's got proof. You know, and the kind of proof is like, okay, so this child is saying, I used to change your diapers, you know, and
right.
then.
Well, I mention that often to, you know, people
good.
In my
well,
audience, like, have you, you know, do you remember the time that your child walked up and said, like, I remember when I was the mommy, you know?
Exactly. But these kids had proof because they would get out the family photo album for the first time.
Uh-huh.
This little child would look at these old photographs and would say, there's Uncle Charles, and that was me. You know,
right.
and point these people
right.
out that they had no way of knowing. So, I mean, the thing is, you will either see them on the other side or you will incarnate with them again if you have a strong bond. No way you cannot be with them again.
Right.
It'll definitely happen.
And,
yeah, that's
and,
what
and,
I want to tell
and
people.
Well, and I think, you know, I have a very, very intelligent listening audience, and I think that they would know that. But I also think which is very, very true, and you mentioned it kind of thing, is that, you know, what I know is that it's the children that make these connections. It's the children that make the contact or are contacted by our loved ones, and it's the children that will very often, they will off the blue start saying all of these things exactly what you're talking about. Because, yes, no question, they know on a whole other level, and that part of their brain that is much more receptive to it is more on the high mode than on the low mode of this connection. Yes,
right.
And I think there's another point that we sort of discussed that is very, very significant, and it's that point where when you have a connection with somebody, and of course you can't explain it in the context of our lives the way they are now, you know that there's a very strong lead into it, because things don't fall from the sky; they got to come from somewhere.
Exactly, everything has a context. Everything has a Yeah.
If you're having that kind of a pull of energy, it's got to be significant. That
it's got a history, yeah, a long history.
Got to be history.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So, if obviously, you know, you follow this, and I know you recommended her book in terms of some other stuff. So, if somebody was to say to you, you know, Stephen, listen, I'm pretty sure that this sort of like happened to me. You know, what might you suggest me to go forth? How I might be able to, you know, follow up or learn more about my own sort of like past connections, because I'm very drawn in this direction, and because there were certain steps that you took that led you from one point to another.
Yeah, what I did was to, first off, I've tried to study the most scientific, the most rigorous studies out there, because I do believe that one should be open-minded, but at the same time one should be rigorous. Both opposites held together, which is very difficult to do, but I feel like that's the road to go. So if we want to not be either, you know, airy-fairy where everything goes, or we want to be so, you know, so tight that we're skeptical and don't believe anything, I think we have an open mind and you be very honest. So I decided that, I'm not psychic to my knowledge, except maybe a little clairsentient. I can feel things, but, you know, I don't get voices, I don't get visions, I don't have any of that. I envy you tremendously, people that have that, but I don't. But I do know I studied past life therapy when I did the documentary, and I learned that emotions are still there. You might not
Absolutely.
Have any memories, you might, you know, but you have all the emotions, and we're constantly reacting to current things and people with our old life, past life emotions. We just don't know we're doing that. So
right.
if the
right.
emotions are there, and if I've correctly identified a past life, which I believed I did have a real one. So therefore, even if I could look at pictures and not recognize anything, but then the feelings would start coming in. So I said, well, and I do have the ability to recognize people from past lives, if it's and places if it's exact. And this was very interesting. I found this out in the course of my research. For example, I would look at pictures of where Matthew grew up, the family farm, which is still it was a tourist attraction. I would look at it and I wouldn't feel any recognition. I think this is crazy. If I'm really this person, I grew up here, I should recognize something. And it didn't seem familiar at all. Finally, I found a picture of the way it looked before they spruced it up. And that I recognized. So it has to be exact.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was one really interesting case where I recognized a picture of Booker T. Washington as a friend. I mean, like I knew him personally, like I'd been a mentor to him or something. But a picture at a certain age looked perfectly normal. But when I saw the old picture of him, it was very freaky, because it was like he, you know, your friend walks in the door and he's suddenly aged 40 years. I'm like, what happened to you? You know, that was the feeling I had. It was very strange. So it has to be right on the money, and then the recognition will kick in. So I used recognition memory, and I used emotional memory as my raw data, as my metaphysical data. And I also had two psychic readings with psychics that I felt were solid. And I had two past life regressions, hypnotic regressions, under, I would say, a light trance. So I kind of went in and out of it, you know. But
right.
In the regression.
That's sort of similar to how Brian works. Brian works, you know, because he works, he'll work with large audiences. And
it doesn't zonk them out. Yeah, some people, some researchers zonk
right.
them way out, and then they get first names and last names and everything, you know. For me, it was
yeah.
just like, you know, if I kind of forgot about what I was doing and let myself go, I would suddenly dip into it and start reacting, and then I would come back, flip back out of it. It was a very light thing. But just about everything, a lot of things I got under hypnosis turned out to be correct. And one just very recently, should I describe it? One of them, really strong one that I got recently? We got time?
Well, sure. I mean, because, you know, people like to, you know, to hear other people's experiences because it obviously validates their own experiences. And if they've done any kind of, you know, somewhat reincarnational work, then, you know, they can identify by it.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it quick. In hypnotic regression, I suddenly remembered being in a big crowd of mostly men, all dressed up in top coats and hats, in a big open area, milling around. There was a farm wagon at the far end. Somebody was standing on it like a platform with a megaphone, and they were making an announcement. And I knew that the announcement was something important that would mean big changes, but I didn't think it would happen. It wasn't an emergency right away, but it was going to cause big changes in other places. I said this in the regression. And I was cynical, and I said, well, we'll see. That was my attitude. So long story short, I found, like a year later, I found a picture of the place where it happened. I said, that's where it is. I recognize this. Congress Square, Portland, Maine. That's it. You know. So, and I lived there in Portland. I knew that, but I didn't have any idea what Congress Square was. Well, that was it. I said, that's the place. I recognized the little buildings and everything. So then, just recently, I found out that in 1861, January 26th, 1861, there was a town-wide meeting. All of Portland went to this meeting, and it was because the southern states were seceding, and that they had a big meeting to try to figure out how to be nice to them to get them not to secede. You know, that was, oh, we'll make this conciliation and that, and please don't leave the Union and that kind of thing. And there were speeches. It was all in City Hall. City Hall was in the middle of Portland Square, but the whole town, no way it would fit in a building. So that means that the people that couldn't get into the meeting were milling around just exactly like I saw in my vision, and probably somebody at the end, now this isn't in any, I haven't found a first-hand account of it yet, but somebody at the end could have been trying to announce to the crowd what was going on inside, you know. So, and it was January, so it was cold, so everybody would have had a coat on. It's exactly like what I saw in my vision. So when I hit that, I said, you know, this is real. I really was this person. Yeah, it was really quite an experience for me, because I'd had other hits before, quite a number of them. I can't go, they're all in the book, you know, where I would have this memory and then validate, yeah, this is plausible. This really could have happened. But this one was more than that. This one was like, yeah, this happened. I found it, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that you are very, very right about, I do believe that that it's the feeling thing is very clear. Very, very significant, because when we feel these connections, they're not only very real, but they're very clear validation of this happening. Even if we can't, as you said, even if we can't find down to specifics and stuff, when you're able to connect within those emotional things, more likely things will start to open up and flower for you in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Yeah,
so.
They use that in past life therapy too. That's something I learned from Roger Wolger. I went in order to videotape him. He's passed on recently, but he was a very prominent past life therapist. And I went to a seminar of his as a condition of taping him. And in the seminar, he talked about what they call the affect bridge. Probably Brian Weiss uses that as well.
Mm-hmm,
and where
mm-hmm.
you go in with the feelings, and the feelings will take you into the past life. So knowing that, I knew that, yeah, I can do this in research also, I think, you know, and it works.
Absolutely. Yeah, and they very clearly, and the thing is that, you know, I know when people say to me, you know, they're a little nervous, or they're saying that they can't be put under, and I always sort of say, like, no one can be, quote-unquote, put under that you do not make the allowance,
mm-hmm.
and the allowance will give you the availability of opening up that door for yourself.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, yes. So the book is called Loving Abby in Truth and Spirit, and it's an e-book, yes?
That's the second book, yeah, second book.
That's
because,
the second
Let me tell you how, I found Abby in the course of the research, which is very controversial. I mean, I'm amazed that I've gone public with this and they haven't just carted me off, you know, in a little white coat or whatever. But I found that other people are doing this also, and that is, you know, not necessarily reconnecting with somebody from 100 years ago, but after somebody dies, they continue the relationship. If it's a strong enough, what I call a soulmate relationship, I think it's quite possible and quite healthy. That's my conclusion, that
it
can be.
This is what I do for a living.
Is it really? It's wonderful to hear that other people are validating this, because it's hard to get anybody to admit they're doing it, you know? But
in my circles, I can assure you that that it is not only just happens, it happens like all the time.
I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, and much of the research out there is there's actually a very huge percentage. It's somewhere in the 70 to 80 percentile of people who not only believe that they've been contacted by a loved one that's passed, but have had the experience of it. So it's actually a much higher percentage than you think. Because that is a connection we relate to in relationship to the love from the person that's been here and gone through the transition. I mean, so mm-hmm. It's a little different than what you're doing, and that's why, you know, I wanted to sort of, you know, share your experience of the past life stuff, because that is a very interesting thing for people who, you know, believe in past lives or wanted some, you know, more, you know, people, somebody had that experience in relationship with it. But many people have experiences with their loved ones that have passed over. Many.
You know, what I found was that when there's really a bond of love and a soulmate relationship,
yes.
170 years is nothing.
Nothing.
Certainly not on that
correct.
Side, but even on this side, it's still exactly the same as it ever was, you know, I mean, in terms of
yes.
your feelings, and then the
yes.
relationship can be picked up in a heartbeat 170 years later and, you know, hardly lose a beat because it's still just as strong. I mean, that's been
correct.
My experience.
Well,
yeah.
there is really no time.
yeah,
and
that's
the key point about it. That is definitely the key point about it, yes. So the book is called Matthew Franklin, Whittier in His Own Worlds, and it's a scholar attempt to prove his own reincarnation case as the younger brother of the romantic poet John Greenleaf Whittier. And so where can people find out about these e-books, Stephen?
Well, if they get on my website, it's pretty clear path to learn about the books. And there's a lot of, probably too much free information, actually, but there's a lot of, you know, free information, and then the books are not expensive. But the web, should I give the URL, or you want to just post it on your site or something?
Well, the
like
website
that,
is, it will be certainly listed, but the website is In Another Life, correct?
Yeah, it's www.ial, and then it's .goldthread.com. So IAL stands for In Another Life, but anyway, that's the URL. Yeah.
All right, wonderful, great. Well, this has been nice, and I know the people that I know it was after I had Jewel on the show, she was very well received, and because again, her stuff is really really quite special, and all her past life connections literally talk about connecting to somebody who has passed over. That's what hers is sort of all about. That's how she sort of fell upon it on her own views.
She and I have done a lot of comparing notes, and it's wonderful to talk to somebody who's having, you know, many of the same experiences
yes.
you are, who's been down the same road, and you know, I'll
and
say, oh, this happened, and
she'll
say, oh, yeah, that happened to me, and that, yeah, it's wonderful.
And she's certainly been down this road for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you can, anybody there, you can download, of course, the podcast and relationship to Stephen. You could check out anything in Another Life, his website, to get more of an extensive study in detail about his e-books and his experiences and check them out. So thank you for being on the show, Stephen. This was great.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick break. This is Suzanne Northrup at Blog Talk Radio. Early August, the number to call in is 347-945-7785. We'll take a break, and we'll go back to giving messages for as many folks as we can today.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. Again, the number to call is 347-945-7785. And we're ready here, and let's hope that Dave and I are on the same wavelength here in terms of taking the callers. And like I said, you know, I always try to get through as many as I possibly can. But, you know, my newsletter just came out. Check it out. And as I mentioned to you, I'm going to be in a whole lot of places. I'm doing a big event with John Holland and September the 15th, and it'll be really cool. It's called Afternoon with Spirit, and it will literally be an afternoon with spirit. So all you folks in the Northeast that want to check it out, it's on a Saturday afternoon, please do, and I'm looking forward to going back to New Hampshire. It's been a while that I've been there. So let's just check and see who is on the line here. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
How you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, I'm still here. Are you there?
I'm here, Suzanne.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Who am I talking to?
My name is actually Sue. Suzanne.
Well, how about that? Hi, Sue.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. And how are we doing on our August night here?
Oh, it's nice. It's beautiful out, actually. I enjoy the summer.
Yes. Me too. How can I help you, my dear?
Well, I would love to get in touch with my daughter, if possible.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, when you called on the line, I actually did pick up a younger presence. To be honest, at first I wasn't sure if I was picking up a younger boy or a girl, because this is quite a dynamo.
Yes, she is and was.
Yes, she still is, and she definitely was. Now, when she's coming in, a couple things here. I got to ask you this. I'm going to assume that you know this, but just in case, I have to bring this in. To be honest with you, she comes in with another younger female.
Possibly. She had a child herself that did not.
Aha. Uh-huh. Got it. Okay.
You know.
So that's the younger female she's coming in with.
Okay.
Got it.
Thank you.
She definitely says, she insists, Mom, I'm coming in with a younger female or younger female connection. So that would be her validation of how she's coming in. Now,
okay.
She's telling me, now I know we're in August, but she's telling me, honestly, Sue, I'm not far from something connected to her. So I'm either near her birth or a passing or something that's coming up, unless she's talking about somebody else who's with her, but I feel like I'm right in this time zone.
Okay, birth and passing, no. She had an aunt. She had a great aunt, actually, that was born in this month. Oh,
okay. Now,
and it's her godmother's anniversary today.
That's what she's talking about. Now,
yeah.
Is this godmother connected to your mom's side of the family?
Yes.
Yes, you see, they're all coming together, and that's how she's making the connection. As I can say,
okay.
I mean, like, I feel like I'm right in this time, and it's like I'm too,
yes.
Like, I feel like I'm too much on target to not have something be today or the tomorrow or whatever it was. Well, she must have had a connection with this because they're coming together.
Yes. Well, I just say
yes.
It's her godmother, and they were very close, too.
Yes. So she wants you to know, obviously, she's not alone. She's got a lot of company. And I knew it was on your mom's side because she mentioned grandma on her side. So that
yes.
comes in quite strong.
Yes. Love your grandmother very much.
She does come very, very much. But she does also come with a male vibration soon. So I'm going to assume that this is your dad, unless there's another male on that side of the family who's also passed.
Okay. She comes with a male, you said,
yes.
Suzanne?
Yes.
Yes. And is this a... my father has passed.
Yes.
Her grandfather.
Yes. Okay. But isn't there another younger male of her peer level who's also passed?
Yes. I've got somebody in my mind who had passed while she was a teenager, and he was just about 20, who she was very close to. And we always talked about them being together. Mm-hmm.
They're together. That
yep.
would be
well,
of her peer level.
That
yes.
would be fantastic.
Now,
if it's
is it her or him that passed? Very much. Very strong connection.
They did. They did. And I'm sure they do now, too.
Absolutely. Now, I want to know which one passed from some kind of a freak passing, Sue.
Well, Chris's passing was within 40 days, my daughter.
Right.
It was.
Okay.
She was, well, the other boy had been sick for a little while, you know, over
okay.
a year.
Then my guessing is just talking about her because it's like I feel like I'm here and I feel like I was not long through this process.
Oh, yeah. It was
yes.
very, very quick.
Very,
very quick.
And I'm gathering, to be honest with you, when they say freak processes to me, it usually means that we either didn't know everything that was going on or there was stuff that was not fine-tuned or decided upon or focused
correct.
Upon. There were a lot of questions.
Really. They use the word weird, actually, that the
right.
doctors
well,
hadn't
freak.
Seen this before. It was a weird.
Right.
I mean,
well,
that's a terrible.
And weird is pretty darn close.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
Yes. But from the way she's saying this to me, I'm going to gather that if she would survive and this freak passing, this freak illness, I'm going to gather it would have not have left her to be the kind of, you know, spitfire that she was.
I know. We agree with that. She was a dancer, and it did leave her paralyzed.
Yes.
So,
yes.
you know, we take comfort that she's hopefully still
that
dancing.
Exactly, that she's able to dance,
yes.
and that's why I said, like I said, this, you know, like when you got on the line, I said, like, well, this was like a bolt of lightning. I mean,
oh, well, this is making me thank you. It's making me very excited because we do have a. I listening to your the fellow that was on, we have such an amazing relationship with her even now. I think my husband and I. So I was very encouraged
yes.
by what he had to say.
Right. And, of course, you know, if you know me, you know that this is one of the things that I say. The number one thing is that it's all – we just got to wrap our half around. It's literally their responsibility because of their love for us to let us know in any way that they possibly can that they're around us.
I think she does that all the time. And just be able to
– And I think she does.
Talk to
yes.
you. I'm very excited. Thank you, Suzanne.
You're very welcome, my dear. You have a great summer, all right?
You too. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, thanks.
Let's see. Okay. Let's take the next caller here. Is this working here? Why is this line here? Okay, let's try this here. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne. Hello, this is Suzanne. You're on the air.
Oh, dear.
Hello? Are you still there? Okay, then I'm going to take the next caller here. All right, let's try this again here. All right. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. This is Deanna.
Hi, Deanna. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to get in. Very interesting interview. I want to find out from parents or anybody on the other side, including my godmother, if my situation is going to get resolved.
Okay.
Or what messages, or messages, either way.
Okay, because I don't, that's not really my area, Deanna. I make the connection with them. But I will tell you this. There is definitely two very strong female presences connecting to you. I'm going to assume one must be your mom, because it comes very much like a female, like a mother vibration. But she also comes with another person. So I'm going to gather either she lost a sister, or I'm getting your grandma. And I'm definitely on your mother's side.
Not my godmother, right?
Yes, I would see a godmother like a grandmother. Very much.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So they're both definitely coming together. And I'm getting the sense that you spent a lot of time with this person, like a lot of time. I don't know if you live with her at any point or she lived with you, but I'm definitely getting very close proximity.
Well, I both lived with my grandmother for 8 years and with my godmother when I returned.
So there you go. Yes. It was very clear that they both came through together, and they both came through in this very strong connective situation. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to tell you this very, very loud and very, very clear. They're telling me that you have both of their strengths, and they're just saying to me, what you need to do is you need to pull from them and their strengths to really make a very clear focus of where it is you'd like to go in your life or how you'd like to have things work out. Because
I need
that. They're there, and they're willing to, like, listen, and do, they can't, you know, I tell people they can't do outside of what your program is, But with love and connection, and that's what it's really all about, they do whatever they can to help you.
So I'll pray to them.
You absolutely will pray to them, and you just keep that door open, my dear.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
You're
please
welcome.
Leave me listening, please. Mute me.
Okay. You got it.
Bless, bless you.
Okay. All right. Now, so let's see who's next here. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hello?
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 Hi, this is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
Veronica.
Hi, Veronica. How are you doing?
Gosh, I'm doing okay.
Good.
This is a surprise because I didn't press one to talk to you.
Well, I guess you got through.
And every time you say hi, this is Suzanne, you think they're talking when you're listening in on the phone. You know, you don't know who you're talking to, you know. So I just said hello. So this is a nice surprise.
It's always a nice surprise. Yes. So how can I help you, my dear?
Hi. Are you getting anything from me or any messages or anything that you know I may need to know or can use to know?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know why, but I feel like there's been definitely, and again, you know, I don't like to go into this area. I like to make the connections.
Hello.
But I definitely think.
I'm sorry,
there's somebody that's standing right next to you there who's giving you lots of information.
Somebody's giving you lots of information or me?
Well, I think you have a little girl that's standing next to you who's definitely keeping you on the line.
Oh, yeah. A little
definitely
bit.
Keeping you busy.
There's nothing else going on? Or...
Well, this is basically what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that there's been some up and down stuff over the last couple of months. But they're telling me as you move into fall, things should either start being a little more focused for you or a little more evened out.
Oh, wait, but what did you just say? I'm sorry, what was that?
I said things should either be a little more focused for you or a little more evened out.
Before that, what did you just say?
I said that the summertime, the last couple of months in summer, have been a little uppy and downy for you.
Right.
A little uppy and downy. Okay.
So,
and I'm just saying, like, as you move into the summer, you're going to see things even out a little more for yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, now we're in August. We're almost heading out to the fall. Do you
see
a move for me in the future?
This move is a conscious move on your chart, on your part. All right?
The move would be a conscious move on my part.
It's a conscious move on your part. Right.
Do you see that happening in this year, or do you see it happening?
I'm saying it's a conscious move on your part.
It's a conscious move on my part.
Right. All right, my dear?
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome, and you take care of
it. The whole thing just caught me by surprise. I don't even want to tell you the complete story of where I was when I said hello.
Well, that's good.
Have a nice night.
You too.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to try to, let's just see here. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Suzanne. This is Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hi, Suzanne.
How you doing?
I'm wonderful, thank you. So nice to talk to you.
You're very welcome. Who am I talking to, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Peggy, and I'm in North Carolina.
Hi, Peggy from North Carolina.
Hello. I was hoping that I might be able to connect with my sister.
Okay. Now, first of all, when she's coming through here, Peggy, I'm going to ask you this question. Is your given name Margaret?
Yes, it is.
Okay, because that's how she identifies herself with coming through for me, all right?
Okay.
Now, and by the way, I'm hearing that name twice, which usually means to me somebody has that name in the family, first or middle.
My mom and my grandmom.
There you go. Now, are they both passed with your sister?
Yes, they are.
Then they're all coming together.
Oh, wonderful.
Isn't that nice, yes?
That's wonderful.
Now, when your sister comes through, I have to tell you something. This is a very, very, very strong woman. Very strong woman. Definitely something they would say to be reckoned with. And, yes? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And
all three of them, actually.
Two of you. All three of them. That's right. I'm saying they're all here together, hanging out here. But I want to say, not only were you extremely close, she said you were very different, but you were very close. You were definitely like best friend sisters.
Right.
And I know her passing, to be honest with you, I know has been very hard for you, but I also know that you know she's right there for you.
Right.
She's absolutely right there for you. So never question that. Never wonder where she is. Never wonder if she's not around, because she's there in full bloom, as they would say.
Thank you so much, Suzanne.
You're welcome. And I'm going to say one other quick thing here. She's not only there for you, but she's there for you in the way that you remember her to be, not the way she was at the end of her passing.
Great. We sort of had a falling out and
yes.
Just had a regret about that, and I just feel so bad about that.
And I think that that's why she emphasizes this so strong to you, Peggy, about your connection
right.
and wanting you to know this. Because,
okay.
I got two sisters. I know the deal with sisters.
Yeah.
It is what it is. They can be. It is what it is. They can be the most incredible things in the world, and then there's times you just want to, like, you know, as
right.
I say, deck them, you know?
And she was okay, and then she was gone, and there was no patching it up, and that's why I wanted
right.
to make a connection with her.
Right. And I think that she's, that's why I said, she's not in that place where you were at the end.
Okay.
And that's why
Very
I emphasize
good.
That to you.
Because okay, thank
you,
you
need
so much.
To know the, yeah, you need to know that the bygones are the bygones, and we've moved beyond that, and we're into the bigger, they would say the bigger field now, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Let's get into the, of what's important here.
Yeah, I need to let it go.
You need to let it go.
Yep, absolutely.
You definitely need to let it go.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. It was great talking to you.
You're very welcome, Peggy, from South Carolina. Did I get that right?
It's North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yes, my,
uh-huh.
my engineer just gave me a look. He goes like, Suzanne, there are two Carolinas.
That North Carolina.
I said, okay, North Carolina.
Yep.
Thank you, Peggy. You have a
okay,
great, great
you
night. Wonderful.
Yes? You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. I almost would like to try to attempt this one more phone call. We're really quick, and it may be just a quickie, but let's just try it a shot. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hey, Suzanne.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're talking to Suzanne. May I ask who's calling, please?
This is Pat.
Hey, Pat. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, Suzanne?
Very well. Very well.
I'm just...
I think we're like... real close to this wire here. We gave this a shot. You are like my 15th caller, and I just happened to hit into the yes.
Okay, just I guess then anybody who's around me right now. There's so many that I can't pick one.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I got 90 seconds left, but what I will tell you is there's a very strong male presence around you who comes like a peer or somebody who's very connected to you. So this
okay.
must be a brother or a male. A husband or something, but I'm getting, he's standing by very strong.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I know
and I don't know if he has, and I don't know if he has a fishing pole in his hand. I don't know if he's got like, if he played golf, but I'm definitely getting something like that that was connected to him.
It would be a fishing pole.
So there you go. You got it.
Thank
you have
you
a great
so
night, Pat.
You too, Suzanne. You take care.
You too now. Be well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, as always, it's always great. Thank you always for listening in. You know, you can always, like I said, you can always download all the iPad, but I'm not telling you anything you guys already know because a lot of people do this, and I think that's actually pretty cool that we can sort of, like, do this. My next month, my guess is Elizabeth, the angel person, and great lady. Divine Heating, we'll check her all out. That's all on my webpage, and you can definitely find out about that. It's going to be coming up, and we'll definitely be checking out. Check me out in September 15th at John Holland, an afternoon event, and go to my webpage and find out where I'm going to be if I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. And as always, I hope everything you want may be yours.